everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. How are you doing today? It's a really, really, really chilly day here in New York City, 28 degrees right now. It's even cold inside, but baby, it's cold outside. And I just got some good news I wanted to share with you. You know, I've been having this crazy problem with my MacBook Pro since August. It's an early 2011 model, and the logic board keeps giving me these video issues. It's covered under some kind of extended program with Apple. And I just found out after I brought it in again for like the fourth billion time since August, I got my third new logic board. And I'm hoping that this one isn't rejected by my machine because it's very time consuming. And when you live online all the time, it's really problematic when your computer goes bad. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is because it is kind of related to food because it's an Apple. Okay, now we have to move quickly here because my guests are limited in their time and I want to bring them right on. We're going to be speaking with Aubrey Walsh, who is the president of a very new company called the Herbivorous Butcher. She and her brother have created it and we're going to hear a lot about it. It's launching, its opening is this Saturday. Welcome to It's All About Food, Aubrey. And Ryan, your vice president, is with us too. Is that correct?
Yep. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. I'm so appreciative of this time. I know you're opening in 4 days, and it must be crazy.
Yeah, things are pretty nuts right now, that's for sure. We're working around the clock to make sure we have all the food.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the Herbivorous Butcher. If we head to Minneapolis, what can we expect starting Saturday?
Well, this Saturday in particular, you're gonna walk into an old fashioned butcher shop. You know, people behind the counter wearing paper hats and white shirts, white aprons. It's gonna feel like the 1950s. The only difference is when you look in that meat case, there's not gonna be anything with animals in it. Everything is made of plants, from the steaks to the sausage to our pulled pork.
Now, this location that you're in, was it originally a butcher shop or something else?
No, you know, it was actually called City Salvage. It was a salvage, furniture, and miscellaneous type store. So it's just a really big empty shell.
Okay, great. I'm very excited about this. My partner Gary and I have like imagined a number of times a vegan butcher shop, and now it's finally happening. Okay.
Yep, no more imagining.
Now, I know your brother Kale isn't joining us, but can I just ask you about his first name?
Yeah, you know, we actually, being from Guam, they don't import vegetables like kale. At least they didn't in the early 90s. So when kale was born, we didn't even know it was a vegetable until we moved to the United States. And then we were at the grocery store and we thought, oh my gosh, it's a cabbage. So then Kale grew up with my mom telling him that kale was the strongest vegetable in the garden.
Well, that's great. It's such a perfect name. And I like to say that there's nothing kale can't do, and you're proving that right now. There's nothing kale and Aubrey can't do with this new Herbivorous Butcher. And what I like is that you're really bringing life and new meaning to the word butcher.
Yeah, I mean, what we like to say is, you know, it's time that, you know, old-timey butchers that slaughter animals are, you know, it's, they had their time, and it's our time now for butcher shops to be plant-based. So as far as I'm concerned, plant-based butcher shops, we're taking the word butcher with us.
Okay, now you've been a vegan for a long time. Is that correct?
Yep.
And
over almost 20 years now.
Wow, good for you. And what was the turning point for you to give up animals?
When I was 14... Yeah, I was 14 bagging groceries in a grocery store and watching all that meat come through the register. And it sort of, you know, struck me that that was living at one time. And I decided that I didn't want to put any more pain out into the world and I didn't need it to sustain myself and to be happy. So I just stopped.
Great. And I love it when siblings kind of get the message and join in a good thing.
Yeah, I love it. You know, dozens of PETA videos later, he follows suit.
I have an older sister and a younger brother, and they're both vegan too. So, it definitely makes family gatherings a lot easier when you've got safety in numbers.
Oh, does it ever? Yeah, it's so much nicer.
Okay, so what are your challenges in the next few days, if you don't mind me asking?
You know, I think just making sure we can make enough food to satisfy everyone this weekend. One promise we made to our customers when we decided to open this was that we would never run out of food again. We've been running out of stuff every single weekend. So just making enough to keep our promise.
Okay, and do you make all of your meat products?
Yeah, yep, we make them all by hand. Every single sausage is hand rolled.
Wow.
I have and over 3,800 to roll this week.
Are they soy-based, seitan-based, a little bit of everything?
Yeah, we like to call it strategic seitan. So we, you know, it's a basic seitan recipe, and we dress it up. So we use a lot of different juices, different flours, we use beans and spices, and then they're cooked in different ways to achieve the texture and flavor that we're looking for.
And have you been selling these foods before opening this store?
Yeah, we were at the Minneapolis Farmers Market for a summer, and that went really well and took off. And after that, we started doing other farmers markets and pop-ups at different breweries. And we just, our customer base got bigger and bigger, and more people were willing to try it. And that's what brought us to where we're at now with this shop.
Great. So those were the places where you'd always run out.
Yeah, yep, exactly. We were cooking out of a community kitchen where you had to book, you know, time by the hour, and so we didn't have as much time as we could have used.
Yeah, but good. It's been a good dress rehearsal for you. So now you're ready to open on Saturday. I'm so excited for you. And Minneapolis is a great place. It's a very forward-thinking place when it comes to food. So I'm sure you'll get a lot of great support.
Yes, we're really, really excited.
And so you're originally from Guam?
Yeah, yep, born and raised and moved to the United States when I was 13, and Kale was 6 months old.
So I don't know anything about Guam. What are some of the local foods there?
You know, so food on Guam is a combination of, you know, Spanish food and Japanese food and Korean food and Filipino food. It's just all the different cultures that have come to the island over the, you know, years. And some Guamanian food is, we use a lot of soy sauce and vinegar and peppers in our food. And so it's just these flavors, incredible flavors that go really well on a grill. So that's kind of what birthed a lot of different recipes that we use now. For example, the porterhouse steak we like to marinate in our chamorro marinade.
Great. So we've got this Guamanian vegan cuisine going on.
Yeah, with a couple of things. But we definitely stay pretty true to a lot of the American favorites.
Okay. So just, I know you have to go soon, but just give me an idea of what's on your menu and get our mouths watering for what we might, if we walked in, what we could order.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to have a lot of our heavy hitters this weekend. We've got our porterhouse steaks, which are, you know, more or less a blank palate. You can marinate it in whatever you want. You can grill it or fry it up in a pan. We've also got a couple of our breakfast sausages. We have our maple sage breakfast sausage, as well as our all-American breakfast sausage, which is very spicy. We've got sriracha brat. We're going to have pulled pork, which is our gluten-free product. We'll have our Korean ribs, which is our most popular product right now. We'll have a lot of different cheeses, from camembert to herb smoked cheddar to our bestseller, the dill Havarti, and the pepper jack.
So you mentioned the Korean ribs. Do they have a bone in them?
Nope. There's no bone in there. But they are,
they're boneless.
we cover them in tapioca flour and brown sugar so they crisp up really nicely when you put them in a pan.
Sounds good. And is there any place to eat inside, or this is solely for pickup?
Yep, this is we're just a butcher shop. We'll have a hot lunch special once we get going, but you know, you just come in after work or on your lunch break, pick up your cuts of meat that you need and cheese you need, and you're on your way.
Okay, that sounds really good. I know you have to go, so if you want to add anything, now's the time, and then I'll bring Ryan on to fill out the rest of the show.
Well, I think just check us out online. We're at the www.theherbivorousbutcher.com and our Facebook page, which we like to put a lot of really fun videos and pictures up. So it ends up being a pretty funny time.
Great. Well, I'm so excited for you, and I hope it's a big success and that you take over all the butcher shops everywhere on the planet.
Oh, yeah, that's the plan. Thank you so much, Karen, for having me today, and I'm going to pass it over to Ryan.
Okay, thank you, Aubrey.
Hello.
Hi, Ryan. How are you doing?
How are you doing? I'm doing very well. How are you today?
Good. So I don't really know your story. So are you vegan as well?
I am. I am now, at least.
Excuse me?
I wasn't when I first met these guys. In fact, I was a pretty big meat eater when I first met Aubrey and Kale and started working with them. But after trying their products and learning more about animal rights issues and the connection to the environment myself, it just became really difficult to convince myself not to go vegan.
I love that. You know, sometimes that absolutely makes sense, and you obviously made the right choice. But I interview lots of different people and authors on this program, and there's a number of authors that I've spoken to who talk about factory farming and the tremendous devastation it has on the economy, on local businesses, on human beings and non-human animals, and yet they're not vegan. And it blows me away once they've done all this research and discovered every reason why we shouldn't be eating animals, they still eat animals. So
yeah,
I'm very glad that you learned a lot and you decided to choose plants.
Yeah, I think it makes, obviously we agree that it makes more sense to be eating a plant-based diet for a whole myriad of reasons. And with the way that we have our business set up, we do take education on the topic very seriously. And so we want people to understand better the impact that the food they're putting on their plate has really on the global economy and the global environment. And for us, we're working to help create that change by changing the way that people look at food and what they put on their plates. And for me, being someone that was doing a lot of research on the subject and promoting a lot of that research, it really got to the point where I started feeling like a pretty big hypocrite. And even more so when I was going to the grocery store and going to these different deli counters and reaching for meat, I could quite literally hear the animals screaming in my mind from all these videos that I'd been watching. And
yep.
After that, it was an easy transition to make. And fortunately for me, too, I work with a company that makes probably quite literally some of the best vegan meat and cheese that you can get in the world. We're able to get stuff super fresh. And so for me, you know, that sort of taste barrier wasn't there because I can easily swap in and out ribs, you know, lots of brats that we make. The porterhouse steak is amazing. And so for me to kind of go through that process of never even thinking that I'd be a vegan or vegetarian, being a convert myself, it really just motivates me more and more all the time to sort of get our message out there and to turn more people on to the possibilities that exist with plant-based diets.
And how long ago did you make this change?
I would say that I was kind of going back and forth for about 6 months. And then about 6 months ago, I decided that enough was enough. I just have to make the full transition because there were a couple of times where I'd go a week or more eating all vegan, and it was the best that I ever felt my whole life. And then I would eat a meat dish and not feel good. I mean, just digestion wasn't great. Even concentration wasn't what it used to be. And so for me, it even got to a point where I didn't feel as productive as an employee when I was eating meat. I felt a lot more fresh and alert when I was eating a plant-based diet. So, yeah, it's been about 6 months now, 100%, and it's one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
I agree. Now, I've been vegan for almost 28 years, and as much as I try, it's hard for me to know what it feels like to not be a vegan. And for me, it's easy I don't see animals as food. I don't see in the supermarket animal products as food. Like you mentioned, hearing the animal scream, there have been times when I've seen chafing dishes of bacon, even with the cover on, and I hear the screaming. It's something, you know, I don't know how, if it's real or if it's a connection I'm making or if indeed in another dimension I'm actually hearing rare screams, but it's not a good thing. But I'm always curious to hear from new vegans because it's fresh for you and you remember, I would hope, what your thoughts were before you became vegan and why you thought you'd never be one. Do you remember some of those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know my sister's been a vegetarian for almost 15 years now. And I think for me, a lot of it was convenience. And I feel that we as Americans, so many of the decisions we make are based on convenience. And so if you want to eat some food, most places everywhere are very meat heavy in the dishes that they're providing. The vegan and vegetarian options are often quite limited or they're quite bland. And so for me, that was the major thing. You know, I go down to the grocery store and I just eat the stuff that I was eating when I grew up and I eat the stuff that's readily available. It's only that since going vegan, I look at menus completely differently now and I can see how it can be difficult and how a lot of people that are eating plant-based diets can feel like they're left out because there aren't nearly the amount of options that there are for meat eaters. And so for me, that convenience was the main thing and it just seemed normal at the time. And I hadn't made the connections to the animal rights issues, to the environment issues, or even to my health. And learning more and more and reading stories about people that are experiencing health issues, especially later in life, and how eating more plant-based diets or an entirely plant-based diet, how they're able to get rid of medications, they're able to exercise more, and then quality of life goes up. A lot of this is just information I didn't have access to or I didn't seek out. And so when I started doing that, it changed things pretty drastically for me.
I eat a primarily whole foods, plant-based diet. I like to stay really clean. But occasionally, you know, I do like to have a good burger. Mm-hmm. And I have access to a lot of great restaurants here in New York City and in Manhattan. And we were just at a restaurant called Blossom Du Jour the other day. They're actually... the company actually has a number of different restaurants in Manhattan, and I hadn't been to this particular location, but it was so much fun because it's kind of like upscale fast food and the kind of food that I know would appeal to everyone. And they had all these meat kind of classics, burgers and melts and steaks and things. And I had this great thing called the skyscraper. It was a burger with fried onion rings on it and all kinds of great schmears and sauces. And it was just, and it was flavors that I remember from a long time ago, only a healthier, more compassionate, cleaner version. I'm only mentioning it because I know they're not competitors with you because they're in New York and you're in Minneapolis.
Great.
But I'm sure there's a huge market for this, and it's all about convenience because the flavor is absolutely there.
Yeah, I would agree. I know Aubrey and Kale and the rest of our team in the kitchen strive very hard to not only bring that flavor but that texture as well to the product. And so when they're enjoying it, it is something that they're used to. And I would also add that I found really interesting because I'm the one that sort of sees all our promotions online, reads a lot of the social media comments. There are a lot of vegans and vegetarians out there that do adhere to more whole food diets that can't understand what we're doing, or they find it very difficult to understand what we're doing because they're saying, well, you shouldn't eat that. That's processed crap or whatever it might be. And really our response to that is that our product is really geared toward omnivores. Our goal is to get more people that are eating meat to take meat off of their plate and then to add our product there. And so for us, if we're creating Smoky House barbecue ribs, well, maybe they were planning on having that Thursday night anyway, but instead of having to completely redesign their meal, they can just swap in our product and swap out the animal product. And so, I mean, I agree that people, we should be eating more whole foods, and that is a healthier way to go. But there's also a lot of people that are not even thinking about those kinds of things. And so if we're able to at least start to get some of their interest in what we're doing, because it's an easy transition to make, then we feel like we can create or help to create the biggest change.
I'm so glad you brought that up. And it's kind of embarrassing sometimes to read posts by so many angry vegans who want to tell us what to do and how we should do it. You know, I know firsthand the importance of healthy plant foods for health. I had advanced ovarian cancer almost 10 years ago, and I had been vegan for a long time, but I cleaned up my diet and started cramming more dark leafy green vegetables and mushrooms because I wanted to beat this disease, and I did. But what brought me to vegetarianism originally was not wanting to kill animals, plain and simple. And we've got a society today, 7 billion people on the planet, and as more people elevate into a higher economy, they want to eat meat. And more people are projected to want to eat meat, and the planet can't sustain it. It's horrifically cruel. And if we can have the herbivorous butcher and other places like that that are offering these wonderful alternatives, what a beautiful planet this would be.
Well, that's what we're hoping to do. And for a lot of people, like myself included, before I met these guys, it's something that a lot of people aren't even thinking about. And for us, it really makes this moment in time very exciting, because as we're out at farmers markets, or like we do sometimes pop-ups at a local tap room. And there was one time not too long ago, a group of people came through doing a brewery tour. They had no idea that we were going to be there, but after hanging out for a bit and seeing a bunch of people come through, they sort of migrated over to our table and asked, well, what are you guys doing? What's going on here? And Kale, who's able to pitch our product better than anybody and talk about it in a way that's very inclusive, got the whole group of people to try. And just seeing their faces and seeing their eyes light up and kind of looking at each other saying, this is vegan? It was something that they had no idea that you could ever even do that. And so for us to be able to get those kinds of people to at least just to try our product, you know, we're not asking for them to become vegan overnight, or, I mean, we're really not asking them to do anything other than just take a chance, because it's a small little sample. It's not going to hurt you. It's all made from plants. It's all made from ingredients that you can pronounce. Pretty much everything we use is organic, local, and most of it's non-GMO. So it's not going to hurt you unless you have certain sensitivities to different ingredients. But just to give it a try, because we feel like food science has come so far and will continue to develop in ways where we're able to create products that will make you forget about what you used to love, because now you're transitioning to something totally different.
Human beings are kind of a crazy species.
Yeah, we really are. And I feel, you know, that we're in a moment of great change.
We think that triple and quadruple bypass surgery is normal, and eating a plant-based diet is extreme. It's a strange time, but I'm very positive about it.
Yeah, funny you mention that, because I was just reading on Facebook yesterday, someone was talking about how no one questioned her diet until she became a vegetarian, but then people stuffed their faces with McDonald's all the time and no one bats an eyelash.
Yeah, crack open my sternum and just clear things out a little bit, and then I'll go back to eating my beef burgers. Uh-huh.
Right, exactly.
Crazy. Are you shipping any of this food, or right now it's all just in-house for those people who come into the store?
Right now we are doing a pre-order online to ship product in February. And our plan is to do regular shipping probably sometime in March is the ideal time we would like to do that. It's difficult because we have to send everything today with cold packs and insulated shippers, because the products need to be kept cold. But because of the response that we've been getting from all over the country and quite literally all over the world, we'd like to be able to get our products out there to people as soon as we're able to. And now that we have this magnificent production facility where we're able to make a lot more food, we feel like we have an opportunity to connect with people all around the country and to hopefully get them to start changing their minds too.
Very, very, very exciting. Okay, Ryan, where can we find out more about the Herbivorous Butcher?
Yeah, Aubrey mentioned the website, just www.theherbivorousbutcher.com. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We like to post a lot of funny videos and pictures because we like to be very playful and sort of keep things light with each other, and we'd like to have that same kind of experience with our customers as well. There's also a lot of really great articles out there that have been written about us recently where we go more in depth into the process and why we do what we do. And I'd also, too, encourage people to send us emails. You know, if they have questions about what we're doing, concerns, suggestions, whatever it might be. Like, we love that we are able to have a direct relationship with so many of our consumers because they're really the ones that we're doing this for. And the more that we have that kind of interaction, the farther we can go.
Sounds good. Well, I just learned that it's the herbivorous, not herbivorous.
Yeah.
It's herbivorous. It's a tough herbivorous one. Butcher. Excellent. Well, I look forward to trying some of your product in the very near future.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it as well.
Okay. Have a very excellent opening on Saturday. We'll be thinking about you. Thanks for joining me on It's All About Food, and send my best to Kale, too. Okay. That was Ryan Strange. I can't even pronounce it. Strangerd, who is the vice president and chief marketing officer of the Herbivorous Butcher. Isn't that exciting? And you definitely should go to their website because they look like they're having a lot of fun. And I hope they do continue to have a lot of fun. I know it's going to be a lot of hard work. It's probably been a lot of hard work already. But definitely something to look forward to. So I wanted to just briefly bring you over to Responsible Eating and Living, where I live, and talk about what's going on there briefly for a moment. We have my blog, What Vegans Eat, which is almost going to be a year old, which is pretty amazing. And what else can I tell you about it? There's a recipe that I had that I put up like 5 years ago. And I just recently made it again. I can't believe it's been that long. Well, I probably made it, but not very often. It's something so simple like three ingredients. Poached pears with raspberry coulis. I just made it this morning, and I had it for breakfast, and the recipe is right there on the website. It's just pears, and I use organic pears. Why? Number one, because I buy organic. Number two, I don't want that residual crap which it concentrates in the skin. And number three, it's a lot easier to prepare foods like pears and apples in a dessert kind of dish when you don't have to peel the skin. Peeling is time consuming and I don't need it. It's not necessary. So this is a very simple dish. You just core the bottom of the pear. I made four of them. I put them in a little saucepan with a little bit of water and poached them. And then I made a little raspberry coulis. Again, so simple. It's just raspberry sauce. It's just made from raspberries. I took frozen raspberries. I put them in a little pan over low heat. You could use a double boiler. It's probably a better way to go, more professional. But I'm always just very quick. And I put it in a little pan over low heat because I don't want them to burn. And what I want them to do is warm up and then ultimately cook in their own juices. And I come around and stir them. And as they get softer, I smash them with the back of a spoon. And then it becomes this beautiful sauce. And you could do the same thing with strawberry. And then I let it cool a little bit. And depending on the raspberry, some are juicier than others. You may need to add a little water to it to get a nice pourable consistency. But you just present the pear standing up on a plate, pour the little bit of raspberry coulis on, and there you go. And it's so much fun having dessert for breakfast, but it's really an elegant, elegant dessert. I like serving it after a very fine meal. Like I've often found when I've been visiting in France, a lot of the upscale restaurants serve this, and it's a great thing when you're vegan and you're going to France and they've got all these rich, creamy desserts. To be able to have a lovely dessert like this, of course, the server will probably be tempted to top it with whipped cream. And I used to always say, no, merci. All right. We'll get back to more of what's going on at Responsible Eating and Living. And right now, I'd like to bring on my very next guest, who is the author of a book called One Vegan Mama. Deanna Dillon Scott is an actress and writer living in Los Angeles, and we'll be discussing this new book, One Vegan Mama, in a moment. Deanna, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I'm glad we connected here.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm always curious about parents raising children vegan. So how old is your daughter right now?
My daughter is now 4.5.
4.5. Beautiful. And you wrote One Vegan Mama, and I fortunately was able to read it. And I want to say it's a very sweet story. And I enjoyed how very straightforward it was and simple. It just made so much sense, just the way you laid it out and did it. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, I wrote it with my Iowa roots in mind. Because, you know, I live in Los Angeles where there's a lot of vegans. And people are pretty savvy about it, but I definitely wrote the book with, like, my Midwestern upbringing in mind and just knowing that a lot of people find it to be confusing and they're not sure what to think about it. And so I just wanted to make it very easy and just simple for people to understand, you know?
Well, you succeeded.
Yeah. Well, because I go back to Des Moines, Iowa every year because my whole family lives there. And it's just an entirely different take on it there. People, you know, they still eat a lot of meat there, and they just don't, they think it's just a fad. And it's actually far from that, you know? And so I wanted to lay it out in a way that people could, you know, and since I'm from Iowa as well, I think that makes it even easier for people to kind of relate to.
Yeah, so I'm curious, what's been the reaction to the folks you know in Iowa to your book, other than veganism being a fad?
Well, I actually have several family members that are now vegan.
Yay!
And I never thought that would happen. And even the most unlikely ones, like the couple that are vegan more recently, they just called me out of the blue and said that, you know, something struck a chord and they're vegan. And I have a cousin who's now been vegan for about 5 years, which is great. And it's actually, they've embraced it. And I think a lot of times it's the health aspect because people start getting a lot of health problems and then all of a sudden it becomes something they care about.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no doubt that it's better for your health.
Well, I know you're in Los Angeles, but maybe you need to move back to Iowa and
yeah,
do some serious activism there.
I know. I actually have done some kind of grassroots stuff, and like there's different shops in Des Moines that have my book. And I'm going to go back there and do book signings. And, you know, I have pondered the idea of opening a restaurant there. It's just that I don't know who would run it. Maybe one of my sisters.
Yeah, it's hard. Running a restaurant is hard.
Yeah, and you kind of have to be on top of it. And I'm not living there, so it would be a little bit impossible.
Yes, and with a 4.5-year-old, it's an extra big challenge.
Well, I wanted to say too, like when I started to write the book when I was pregnant, and it was mainly just because of people's questions about vegan pregnancy and was it safe, was it healthy, and all that sort of thing. And I've read so many books about veganism, and you know, some of them are so brilliant, but they're so difficult to understand if you don't already know a lot of facts.
Yep.
And it's too much, and that's why it just kind of dawned on me. I was like, I need to write a book that like someone in the middle of Iowa could pick up and read it and go, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it doesn't sound intimidating. And you include different foods that you can prepare, and it all seems very doable. At least I thought and I've been doing it for 28 years.
Well, you know what? You can find, you know, the ingredients that I have. I have some recipes, obviously, in the back of my book. And you can find them at any grocery store in America or around the world. I mean, it's not like other books that I've read. I'm sure the recipes are delicious and amazing. But in certain parts of the world, people would ask, what are these things? What are these mm-hmm. ingredients? And so I just wanted to really simplify it. And that is the one thing that a lot of people said about my book. They're like, I actually feel like I could do it after I read your book.
Yeah. I have read like almost every How to Be Vegan book. And
me too.
and a lot of them are great. And they give you all kinds of information and shopping lists. But I talk to a lot of people about going vegan, and I often get that deer in the headlights look, or people feeling very overwhelmed. It just seems like so complicated. It isn't. We know it isn't.
It's not. But, and that's what people say too. They always go, oh, it's so hard. You have such willpower. You must have so much time. Like, it's so hard. And my response is always, I'm such a no nonsense person. Like, and I'm pretty laid back about things. If it was super hard, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. It's like, it's really not. It's just making different choices.
Now,
that's kind of it.
There are people that I've heard talk about why people go vegan, and the reasons people go vegan, the ones that stay vegan are most likely going to stay vegan because they don't want to harm and kill animals. That some people who go into it for health may not stick with it. And you're definitely one of those people that got into it because of the animals.
Yeah, I'm an ethical vegan. I mean, I was a huge animal lover just since I was a small child, like really like most children are, if not all children. And I think what happened to me was what happened to everyone. You know, I was fed meat as a small child, and I didn't really know what it was, and I was conditioned to love it. And yep. Once I grew up and I realized I made the connections, I felt like a hypocrite. How can I say I'm this huge animal lover and I want to help all these animals? Meanwhile, I'm paying these corporations all this money to torture them. I couldn't get away from that. It kept haunting me. And you know, I was vegetarian even for a long time, and then that wasn't quite good enough. And I think when I came full circle and realized if I'm going to do something, I really strongly believe it in my heart that it's the right thing, like I'm going to do it all the way. And it was really life-changing for me, and I would say besides having my daughter, probably the best, most life-changing thing I've ever done.
I agree. No doubt. How could it not be? It's so mm-hmm. huge on so many levels.
It just makes you look at the world differently.
Exactly. You look at the world differently. Number one, knowing that you do not need to kill to survive.
Nope, not even close.
You do not need to exploit. And then all of a sudden you start to recognize all the different areas where we exploit not only non-human animals, but our fellow human beings.
Yes. It has done that for me. Even, you know, being vegan made me look at, you know, gifts I buy for people, clothes I buy. I want to know where they come from. I want to know who's made them. I want to know if people are being exploited for it. You know, I like to support companies that are trying to do something, you know, from a more humanitarian perspective or a more caring, compassionate perspective. It's like, it just, it kind of, it almost switches the way your mind works.
Well, our society has evolved, maybe evolve isn't even the right word to choose, but has transformed because of so many different things. We have corporations now that pretty much control everything that we buy, and these corporations are global. They're not locally based, and it's so easy to detach from whatever it is we're buying and where it comes from, where it's made, as opposed to a small local business where you know the owner. If it's a farmer, you can actually see what's being grown, and we're so far away from that, although there are lots of people making efforts to get back to that. But that's what makes it easier in the name of convenience and efficiency. These corporations can do anything they want, and they end up exploiting animals, exploiting the environment, and exploiting their consumers by giving them crap for the most part.
Yeah, it's easy to pull the wool over people's eyes because people have no idea where these items are even coming from, how they're made, and it's very just concealed, you know, and convenient. Like you said, you can get it right on the corner, you know, it's just, and people's lives are busy, so they don't want to, you know, who wants to take the time to research every little thing they buy?
Okay, now you were lucky because you said that your doctor supported you being vegan during your pregnancy.
You know, I was surprised too, because I, at that time, my insurance was through Kaiser. And although I have been told that they actually have in their medical journals to the doctors that encouraging a plant-based diet is good for patients. So they have a different take maybe than other places do. But I asked him what he thought about it right in the beginning. And he said, "You're the last person I worry about." He said, "You're so healthy." He said, "I know that you're so conscious about what you eat and getting all your vitamins and minerals." And he said, "I worry more about all the obese kids that are born."
Wow.
He said, "We have so much obesity." And he said, "You wouldn't believe the babies that come in here and they're, you know." He said, "You're the last thing." He supported me 100%.
Beautiful. There is one doctor who is thinking. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And he was older, too. He actually retired just about a year ago. He wasn't like some young progressive doctor. He was an older doctor. He just, in his words, he said, "You know, I've seen it all." And he said, "What I see more of than anything you're talking about is, you know, childhood obesity."
Kaiser actually is very progressive. And I think it was a year or two ago when they put out a policy statement saying that they're encouraging all of their doctors to promote a plant-based diet. Now, I don't know if they are, but they did put it in a document.
Yes, I read the document. I didn't know exactly what it was called. But, yeah, I actually did read that document, and I was so encouraged by that. I was surprised because I've heard so many stories of people telling me their doctors told them not to be vegan or not be vegetarian. And so for them to put it in that something that all their doctors read, it's pretty amazing.
Let's talk about your daughter now. Now, you said she's 4 and a half, and this is probably the easiest time you're going to have with her, and I'm curious to check in with you in another 10, 12 years when she's a teenager.
if she rebels on my veganism. Well, you know, it's the way I've approached it kind of from the beginning. Like, you know, I do a lot of things. Like, I started an animal welfare group here, and I do a lot of other things to help animals, like rescue dogs and help fix the feral cats and just whatever I can do to sort of just help my community that has to do with animals. And I take her with me. And so, and she even comes to my meetings sometimes and hears everybody talking about the animals. And she understands already why we're vegan. You know, she knows we're vegan because we love animals. And if you love animals, you don't want to kill them and eat them. And she has a sense of pride about that. Like, she will ask people, even when it's the most delicious-looking thing, she'll say, "Is it vegan?" They say no. She'll go, "Oh, no, thanks." And I see in her a sense of pride, and I just want to make sure all along that she knows why and that she understands. And she's such a soulful little girl, and of course anything's possible, but I just can't imagine her not continuing down the path, because I can already tell that it means something to her.
Well, that's an important message about raising children with honesty, raising children with good morals and ethics,
yeah.
and allowing that to sink in and have them think for themselves.
Yeah, I want her to be a critical thinker. And, you know, like she even asks me, she says, she'll say, you know, a couple of children's names in her class, why do so-and-so and so-and-so eat chicken, you know, when they kill the chickens? And I said, well, honey, I said, not everyone has gotten to the point where they understand how that's not really good for the animals, it's not really good for their body. And I said, just so lucky that you understand that, and maybe you can help other people. You know, and she's like, oh, okay. She always tells me, she goes, I need a vegan partner. She said, I need a vegan partner that's four.
That's really good. You know, another thing that's good is you're giving her good foundation in terms of having a good sense of self and mm-hmm. not feeling a need to, I hate this expression, but be a sheep and go with the masses. And like you said, a critical thinker. These are all really excellent tools that all came out of you wanting
veganism,
to share this vegan philosophy.
Well, and I feel like she's so lucky because just like I had when I was a kid, she, you know, adores every animal she meets. And for me, it's always been a big disconnect that people will take their children to a petting zoo and teach them to be all sweet and, oh, love the animals and treat them with kindness and respect. And then they'll sit down at a table, maybe right 10 feet away, and eat a chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just such a disconnect. I'm like, and the children don't know that's what's happening. And it's just there's something missing there in the middle. And it's like, I just wanted my daughter to understand the truth of, and I show her different things. Like, I don't show her, obviously, anything graphic. But I'll show her videos of people talking about things, especially other children, you know, talking about veganism or talking about why they're vegetarian or vegan. Mm. And so then she gets other children's perspective, too.
That's nice. And she knows she's not the only one.
Oh, yeah. She definitely knows she's not the only one. But she also knows that she is unique in that way and that the masses aren't doing it yet.
Okay. What does she like to eat?
That. Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, it's funny. Her favorite thing in the world is, like, she's maybe because of me, she loves pasta because I'm a big, like, I grew up with an Italian stepfather, so I love anything Italian. She loves pasta. And her favorite is with the vegan butter and then with our olive oil and then nutritional yeast flakes. I know it sounds so plain, but it's like that's, like, one of her absolute favorite things to eat.
Well, and most kids like plain pasta with butter and salt, so that's not unusual at all.
Yeah, she would eat that every day. And then, you know, she likes fruit and stuff. And, you know, she's in a weird stage where she can just look at something and go, I don't like it. And which I think is pretty normal for, you know, a 4.5-year-old. But then she'll surprise me and she'll try, you know, new things here and there. Like she discovered that she really likes broccoli all of a sudden. And it's just, it really, with her age, it kind of depends on week to week, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
I just keep putting new things in her lunchbox, and I just keep trying to get her. You know what I do? I don't push it too hard. If I push it, she'll push back. If I just act like it's no big deal, just try a bite, I have a better chance.
And so far, you've done pretty well going to parties with party food.
Kids parties or grown up parties?
Yeah, kids parties.
You know, kids' parties, I'll tell you a couple of interesting things about that. One is, you know, I've had really good success with, I'll just email the parents and say, most of them know anyway, but say, you know, Ever's vegan, would you like me to bring, you know, some vegan pizza or vegan cupcakes? And a lot of people will say, no, I'll handle it. I'll get a slice for her and a vegan cupcake. And if not, or like a couple times someone said, I wouldn't know what to do, so I just bring something for her that's similar to what they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And then the really cool thing is I always throw a big party for her, obviously, on her birthday. And, you know, I'll bring a lot of different vegan food or vegan pizza and vegan cake. And some of the moms at the school are like, my boyfriend has a son and they're not vegan. And when we had his birthday party, a couple of the moms were so disappointed because they said, the vegan cake wasn't here, and it's so much better. Like, some of these moms that aren't vegan were like, oh, we were so excited that it was going to be your party because that vegan cake is, like, the best.
Yay, vegan cake is the best.
I mean, it's just funny. It's like, and also the other thing I get is the moms will ask me, what is this or that you put in Ever's lunchbox because, you know, their son or daughter wants it, but they don't know what it is or where to get it.
Mm.
You know, that's and cool. So I'll have to, and I'll have to be like, oh, well, what was it? And then I try to help them, you know, so I love it that she's kind of a little vegan ambassador, you know what I mean? She's not meaning to be, but she is.
And you don't seem to be fazed at all with traveling as a vegan.
No, I've never had a problem. You know, it's so funny because even going to other countries, I mean, first of all, you just have to be a little bit creative. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes,
if you go to a Mexican place, you really can't just get, you know, beans and vegetables and avocado and throw it in a burrito. I mean, it's pretty good. It's like in a pinch, you can be creative. And also, I realized that all these other countries now, vegan restaurants are popping up. You know, there's
crazy
vegan restaurants all over. I mean, it wasn't that way 10 years ago, but it sure is now.
Well, I also found traveling around the world that in a lot of places, it's not unusual to eat vegetables and fruits.
Well,
like,
you know,
many countries weren't as meat focused as we are here in the United States, so you could always find some kind of vegetable thing in many, many places. But now you're right, there's even more opportunity because vegan restaurants are popping up everywhere.
Well, and you know what it is, you're so right, because I don't know what it is about America, but it's like everything has to have something to do with meat and cheese and ranch dressing. I don't get it. But when you go to other countries, they do, first of all, they have, not every place, but there tends to be more high quality vegetables and fruits that just taste like amazing almost on their own. But then also they're more creative with their vegetables and fruits. Like, they don't just, you know, slice it up and throw it. They do all these amazing dishes and you're like, oh my God, I never even thought to make it that way.
Well, I'm sure you know this, but there are many great recipes to make vegan ranch dressing, so it's not like you can't even have ranch dressing.
No, I know.
In fact, the first ranch dressing I ever made came from the Real Food Daily cookbook. There's a bunch of Real Food Dailies in Los Angeles. I'm sure you've been there.
I've been there, yeah. And also Follow Your Heart has a really great one, too.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Okay, are you a perfect vegan? Deanna Scott Dillon?
No, of course not. I mean, as far as, you know, that's the whole thing. I think people sometimes think it's, there's different, like, myths about it. Some people think, oh, it's a trendy thing you're doing. And I'm like, well, I've been doing it for a really long time then, as a trend. And then other people, I think that you're doing it as a, I don't know, a high and mighty thing. Or it doesn't have anything to do with that. You know, for me, it just had more to do with, you know, I don't want to be a part of that. You know, I don't want to be a part of that kind of objectification of the animals and just the, I don't think it's a solid product. Like, I just think it's a, first of all, there's torture involved, which seems bad. And then I just think that they're filthy places, bacteria, hormones, antibiotics. I don't want to be a part of all that. I don't think that's me being high and mighty. I think it's just, I'm saying no thank you.
You're not perfect, but you are a critical thinker.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm better. I'm just, I don't want to, and I also don't want to spend my money on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to put my money towards it.
We just have a few minutes left. I was noticing in the back of the book, you have a number of books that you recommend, and a few of them are the children's books by Ruby Roth, and I've interviewed her a number of times. I've loved her books. What did your daughter think of her books?
She loves them. I mean, she, you know, we have them all, and she loves them, and she shares them with her cousins, and she has one little cousin who is vegan, but she has others who aren't, and, you know, I think Ever, my daughter is named Ever. She's pretty lucky because, you know, she's such a sweet little girl. The people in her life just embrace it, and I'm sure she's going to have an effect on them, but I just think it's nice for her to have those books to be able to also share with like her cousins and her friends, because it sort of helps her maybe say some things that she doesn't know how to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's even bought a couple of those books, and obviously I bought them, but she wanted to, and given them to like her cousin Ava and her cousin Estella. And, you know, it's part of her wanting to share something about herself.
Well, I when those books came out, especially the first one, there were some very negative reactions about parents not wanting to get this information in front of their young children, and there's that disconnect and that hypocrisy again. Why don't you want to let your children know the truth, what's really happening, and if it's so awful, how can you support it?
I know that, you know, that's something that is maddening to me. When I really get thinking about it, I'm like, I've had debates with really good friends of mine who have children, and I'm like, how can you think that the right thing to do is to lie to your children and feed this to them, and they have no idea what it is? How can you feel like that is good parenting? I just don't agree with it. I'm like, if you can be honest with your child and stand behind it and explain it to them in a proper way, great. But to lie to them and want to hide it and conceal it, and then that's a part that I just, and that's the reason why so many people are conditioned to this day, and they don't know why.
Yeah. I have to believe that you're going to have a much better time and a better relationship with your child when she becomes a teenager and later an adult, knowing that you are always honest and truthful, and you have a relationship based on that, that's got to make a big difference.
Well, and just like I'm no perfect vegan, I'm no perfect mother, but I do strive to be honest with my daughter and let her know. If she asks me a question about anything, I try to answer her as honestly as possible without giving her too much information for her age. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we've actually come to the end of the program, and I wanted to thank you for joining me on It's All About Food, Deanna. It's been a real pleasure. I enjoyed talking with you. And anyone out there who's from Iowa or wants a simple way to learn about vegan food or to introduce other people about it, One Vegan Mama is a really good place to start.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed talking to you, too.
Yeah, take care.
Thank
okay,
you.
We have like,
bye.
Bye. We have like about a minute left, and I just wanted to say I was talking about Blossom du Jour earlier in the program, and if you want to see what I was eating, because it just looks so good, you can go to responsibleeatingandliving.com and check on the What Vegans Eat Day 341. You can see my sandwich, and it's so gooey good. And I think I got to stop talking about food because it's the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in live, tuning in love, and have a very delicious week. Bye-bye.